I mean, the idea, the teaching, the truth, everything about him. To properly identify him is to truly know him. Where we are to eat and drink his body and blood. That's how intimate we are with him. That's how closely we need to know him. When we truly know him, remember, and he that sins hath not seen him, neither known him. When we truly know him, then we're truly gathering with him, and we're truly not against him, and not undermining his work. So when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and finds none. So he gives us sort of this picture of you have a spirit gone out, and the spirit's looking around, and he finds nothing. And then he goes back to his own house, and he finds it swept and garnished, all cleaned out, just waiting for an inhabitant. He says, wow, the house is in better shape than when I first got there. And he gets seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Sometimes that can happen with people, is an initial deliverance can cause a quick regression that can be even worse. I've seen this in my own life. I remember when I would try to quit smoking, I would end up being a bigger smoker after I tried to quit. And not that that's really equating to these spirit things, but it's a principle that has a broad application beyond just the evil spirit. And I think this is a parable. You need to fill your house with the Holy Ghost so that a stronger man is present to guard the house. And I think that's definitely a good way to teach this, right? If we fill if our hearts are filled with the Holy Ghost, and God has given us the Holy Ghost, then the evil spirits are going to find someone strong inside us to defend us. But I've also seen that since I have the Holy Ghost, there can be secret places in the heart. Though God is on the throne, there can be chambers, side chambers, hidden corridors where things lurk. And they all have to be swept out clean and filled. Not just cleaned out, but actually filled with something else, with something more righteous. We got to replace drunkenness with temperance. It's not enough to just lay aside alcohol. You might still be a drunk. You're just not drinking. So that's the point. It's like a drunk who isn't drinking is just waiting to fall off the wagon. A big, big crash. The swine that is washed is returned to her wallowing. The dog is returned to his vomit. All the yucky things we get out, all the things that go away from us, we are able to go back to. Unless we replace it, unless God replaces it with something stronger, something more powerful, something able to keep it out. We need to seek God constantly for these kinds of gifts, and seeking how we might purify our hearts, laying aside all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So 2 Corinthians chapter 7, the first verse, that's what it says we should do. Lay aside all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Not just the flesh and spirit, all the filthiness, and perfect holiness. Can you perfect holiness? Well, Paul said we should, and so did Jesus. So, verse 27, and it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman in the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. And he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now that's right there. That's pretty stark. Once again, in the gospel where we really see get a good look at Mary and how full of faith she was, we see that in the beginning of Christ's ministry, it was until the very end that his family begins to really come along. Doesn't he love his mother? Because I'll tell you what, there isn't a mother. Well, there are very few mothers, let's just say that, in America, who, if their son spoke this way of them, would not think, my son hates me. But I guarantee you, Jesus loved his mother. He loved Mary. And he wanted them to believe. And there was nothing better than that to them than that they should believe. There would be nothing better to them than that they should believe. And so, he is saying this to provoke them to believe. And you may think, well, wouldn't there be a more gentle way than just saying, hey, no, rather, not blessed, but rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. That's really blessed. Not my mom. Because in the early period of his ministry, they thought he was beside himself. But they certainly came around. And they certainly changed their attitude. And they, these things can be so hard to see with the people that are closest to us. And it's nothing against them. It's like the apostles from my mindset. It's nothing against Mary. God forbid. There is no, lingering shame over it. It's just what was at the time. You know, when I'm blind, I do stupid things too. And I take comfort in it, honestly. When I see the apostles and so on and so forth in their early stages, when they're confused, and we have this, and we say, well, we have the gospel, we should know better. Yeah, well, they had Jesus, you know. And with hindsight, we think we know better, but then we go out and we do the same things. Mary isn't a goddess, you know. They think way too much about Jesus' mother. I don't think they think, you know, what I mean is they're just way too concerned with her. Just way too, just, you know, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. That's a little much. It's a lot much. Especially considering that all the saints are sleeping in their graves, including Mary. No man hath ascended into heaven, but he that came down from heaven. And that would include women too. Only Jesus Christ is ascended into heaven. All the rest wait for the resurrection of the dead. God wants us to hear his word and keep it. Let us do this, because it is the most important thing. It is, you know, you say you believe in Jesus. Well, hear the word of God, then keep it. That's what he says. You believe in Jesus? Well, hear his word and keep it. Now, why do you say you believe on him and then you don't do what he says? Why do you call him Lord if you don't treat him like he is your Lord? And I understand we are not always able to do as we would. But still, we can still ask in faith that we might receive. Verse 29, and when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign to the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And the men of Nineveh shall rise in the judgment.